Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget Entrepreneur Magazine on newsstands everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, we're talking about even all the way in India. That's right. A global brand entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs are everywhere. Of course they are. Our guest today is Professor M.S. Rao, Ph.D. And he has, as a matter of fact, I talked about India. He has MSR Leadership Consultants, India. And he's calling us all the way from India. And I'll talk to him momentarily. But I want to talk about something that I've been struggling with for a long time. And that is EQ versus IQ. The emotional quotient is so important. Everybody puts the importance on the IQ, when really the EQ is, I think, even more important in many cases. And it depends on what you're doing. Obviously, if you're a rocket scientist, you better have a big IQ. Point is, the situation in business today is that we get so lost, business people do, in the stress and the pressure of business, that the boss, whoever it is, the boss walks out of his office, he or she, and that person has a tremendous amount of stress on them. Whatever's going on, the deal is going sour. The deal hasn't even been done yet, and they're waiting for it to happen, and they're stressed. Whatever the problem or pressure is from, whether, you know, self-inflicted or somebody else putting on us, we all are dealing with stress. And just so you know, stress is killing you. So it isn't just killing you, though. It's also killing everybody around you, because then you walk out of your office, or you hang up the phone, or you turn and look at another person, and laser beams come out of your eyes. And we are just not aware of this enough. So the reason why we have Professor Rao on is that he has an award-winning book, Soft Leadership, an innovative leadership style to resolve conflicts amicably through soft skills and negotiation skills to achieve global stability, peace, and prosperity. Holy mackerel, that is a big title. Welcome to the show, Professor Rao. Did I kind of lay out a little bit of what's going on in this world today, how people are so stressed they forget about what I guess is the soft skills they need to have? Maybe you can tell us about your book and what are soft skills and soft leadership?
It's great to be on your show, Alan. Thank you for asking the question on soft skills. Globally, there are several myths on soft skills. Most people think soft skills are all about communication skills or emotional intelligence quotient. People skills or interpersonal skills. Likewise, you know, people say with different names. But the fact is that soft skills are all about your personality, attitude, and behavior. And the skills and abilities related to your personality, attitude, and behavior. This is the actual definition of soft skills.
Uh-huh.
Whenever I conducted training programs across the world, when I talked about soft skills, so people often equated with communication skills and emotional intelligence quotient. Then I tried to correct many people among my audiences. Then finally, I thought, why not to write a research paper on soft skills? Then I wrote a research paper on soft skills, Myths and Truths About Soft Skills. It was published by American Society for Training and Development.
Wow.
So if you hit on Google Myths and Truths About Soft Skills, it will come on Google on the very first page, because it debunks the myths about soft skills, because people do not know exactly what the soft skills are. So that's why, you know, instead of talking to a few people across the audiences, I thought, why not to write a research paper
right. And
publish. And then I got it published. It's available online. That's about soft skills. Now, you back talked about EQ and IQ. Yeah, I would like to say that IQ is somewhat related to your hard skills, and EQ is somewhat about your soft skills.
Right.
So what we need to do currently is we need to blend both IQ and EQ. That means hard skills and soft skills to achieve professional success.
Right. So, I agree. Now, hold on. Let me take a little break. I want to come back and talk about soft skills because you're right. A lot of people don't even know what they are. They've never given any thought.
Yeah.
And I think it is a proper blending of EQ and IQ because you got to be, I guess you got to be smart enough to have the thought to begin with. We'll take a little break. All the way from India, Professor Rao, PhD, award-winning book, Soft Leadership. What is that? We'll walk through it on the other side. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor talking to entrepreneurs around the world. You know, soft skills and the lack thereof cost us in more ways than just in business. It also cost us in our families. We have Professor M.S. Rao on the line all the way from India. And yes, we do have Entrepreneur India. This magazine and brand, Entrepreneur Media, is a worldwide brand. So we like to talk to folks from all over the world, especially when something is so important as soft skills and soft leadership. Now, Professor Rao kind of coined the phrase soft leadership, and he was in the Indian Air Force, where I'm sure there aren't very many soft skills used in the Air Force or in the military, no matter where you are. But let's talk about it. Explain again, what is soft leadership?
Soft leadership consists of 11 C's: character, charisma, communication, conscience, conviction, courage, compassion, communication, consistency, consideration, and contribution.
Wow, a lot of C's.
I have created 11 C's because Robert Greenleaf coined servant leadership. It contains 10 qualities, 10 characteristics. So I have created 11 C's. These are all the C's which are essential to excel as soft leadership.
Yeah. And by the way, let me just tell the world that this book, Soft Leadership, was number one under the category of negotiation and mediation on Amazon. You can buy it on Amazon, Soft Leadership. It's an award-winning book. And although there's a little bit of difference between our dialect here, and it's a little bit hard to understand everything you say, I'm sure that the book itself and the written word is going to make it a lot easier for us to be able to understand all these principles that you have into place. Why do you think soft leadership is so essential?
It's essential because the millennials, especially the Generation Y, they don't like to work under bosses. They want to work with colleagues. And they don't appreciate the kind of leaderships that prevailed.
Right.
So when I conducted training programs to various audiences, from entry level to senior level management, so I received several complaints that, you know, the existing leadership styles didn't work. Then I researched and explored and created this soft leadership. And especially the millennials who are leading the world, and the Generation Z is going to get into the workplace, they all appreciate this kind of leadership because the mindset of young people, the millennials, who are very ambitious, very smart and brilliant, they love to work under friendly ambience rather than under bosses, under leaders. The soft leadership is more or less like, you know, no leaders and no followers. It's like partners working for progress.
Let me ask you, though, isn't the Indian culture, it just seems like the Indian culture is so, I just would be so different. You guys over there are so, it seems, patient and understanding. Are you telling me that millennials are the same no matter where you are in the whole world? It just seems like, you know, you folks are always so gracious. Every Indian person I've ever met, and I actually have a couple that are working for me, the most gracious people in the world. Are you telling me that you even have problems with millennials in the same way that we do over here?
Well, the issues are same, more or less. But in India, it's a bit different because Indian culture is different. The young people, they respect elders. So our Indian culture is a bit different. And thank you for being so kind about Indians and praising their graciousness.
Yes, true.
So, in India, it's somewhat better the condition because the millennials, you know, although they are ambitious, they are impatient, they are very smart, they still respect other generations like Generation X and baby boomers.
Right, right.
So Indian culture is a bit different, but it's also getting westernized because of the technology, because everything is open.
Right, right. Hold on. Here comes another commercial break. And you hear what he says? They're getting westernized over there. In other words, they're becoming brats the way we are. We're going to take a break. I love the Indian people. They are just amazing. Thank you. Hold on, Dr. Rao. We're going to take another break, have another segment with you, talk about soft skills and soft leadership. Oh, my Lord. We all need these, and we need more of these soft skills. We'll be right back. Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
What kind of a leader are you? What kind of a employee are you? You know, have you ever thought about that? I mean, you're either a leader in business or you're a follower. So the question is, do you love your leadership that is above you, that leads you? What is it about them you love? Is it their soft skills? Is it their soft leadership style? What is that all about? Or are you the leader that your employees love you, or do they hate you? These are the things we have to ask ourselves as we are in these jobs. I am a leader and a follower because my clients, I'm following because they are the bosses in essence. I have to be thoughtful. I have to be kind. I have to be attentive. I have to underpromise and overdeliver. So I'm following their lead. They're giving me direction of what they want. They're paying the bill. If I'm an employee, you know, then I have a leader. Do I love that leader? Is there something about that leader that I adore and that makes me work harder at my job? Or am I miserable because of the way that the boss or the leader runs things? Now, these are the questions that we ask ourselves. The answers could be found in the book Soft Leadership. The author is Professor M.S. Rao, Ph.D., and it's an award-winning book. It was number one in mediation and negotiation on Amazon. That's where you can find it. Soft Leadership. Coming back now to Professor Rao. Professor, let me ask you, is this soft leadership, is it something that is the nature of the person? Is it gender? Or is it something that we actually make a choice in? Because to me, I think it's a choice, but I think it could also have something to do with nature and gender. I don't know. Maybe you could just talk about that for a moment.
Soft leadership is not about any gender. Soft leadership is a style. It's a leadership style where leaders adopt people's skills to get the task executed.
Ah, so what you're saying is it is a choice. They adopt leadership skills in order to get the task completed. So, in other words, if I'm working with employees and I've got a few that don't get along very well, then I have to really modify my leadership skills in order to make everybody come together and have, I guess, what we call a little kumbaya so that we can actually get things accomplished. Because people have different personalities. And when you put a lot of people in the room, well, I'll tell you what, I've been at meetings before where I haven't even heard that person's idea yet. And my brain is already thinking, I don't like that person. I can tell that they're going to be, you know, too rigid, or I can tell whatever it is. I start judging. So then my attitude becomes judgmental. And so the leader walks in the room. Guess what? That leader, the leader of the group, needs to have a certain skill set that can calm the waters, because everybody in the room is already judging each other for one reason or another. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just that weird that I look at people and judge them by what they're wearing and how many tattoos they have, what the tattoos are trying to tell me, what you know, facial piercings or the shoes they're wearing. I don't know. Why do people judge each other? I don't know. But so it really is an adopted skill. That's what you're saying.
Soft leadership means it's a skill set, mindset, and tool set. And when you are a soft leader, then what happens? Your unconscious bias. Usually, we all have unconscious bias. Our biases are of two types. One is conscious bias. Second is unconscious bias. So when you are a soft leader, what happens? You'll be able to understand and your own unconscious biases and overcome those biases and lead people with an open mind.
Unconscious bias. That's what you're telling me. So that's where my judgments lie, in the unconscious bias.
Yeah, correct.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, you know what? I mean, as we're all trying to analyze ourselves and figure out, you know, this crazy thing called life, having some skills and some tools, like you said, skill set, mindset, and tool set, and a book like Soft Leadership could certainly help. And I appreciate you, you know, coming on the show. I realize it's nighttime in India where it's morning for me. and I'm glad that – so we have Entrepreneur India over there. And I'm glad that, you know, we have this connectivity. And I'm glad that you've written this book, because so many people need the answers to these types of things. Professor, how do people find you?
I don't have any website as such. When you Google my name as Professor M.S. Rao, you will find my social media platforms. I have a vision, 2030, 1 million global leaders. That is the blog where I share my free knowledge with the world. I have a YouTube channel and LinkedIn, Twitter, so many social media platforms I have. I share my knowledge free with the world by posting on LinkedIn and on my blog. That is Vision 2030, 1 million global leaders. You can also buy my books by Googling Professor M.S. Rao, Amazon Books. You will find all my books that have been published by me.
Okay. That is M-S-R-A-O, M-S-R-A-O. That's Professor M.S. Rao. I'm Alan Taylor, all the way from India. We have Entrepreneur India. More Entrepreneur Weekly right after this. Thank you, Professor. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, the question is, these soft skills that we all need to have more of could just be being nice. Maybe that's a good way to lead a company. Be nice for a change. Our next guest, I think, can speak to that a little bit. Carol Barks, MBA and CPM, certified mediator. Interesting. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thanks so much, Alan. Nice to be here.
So as I'm looking at you and what you do, trendsetting mediator, business consultant, best-selling author and educator specializing in the use of neuroscience to improve business performance, woohoo, interpersonal communications, negotiation, and conflict resolution process for optimally successful results. That's a mouthful. Now, you also have a book, Business Breakthroughs, Leading Entrepreneurs and Professionals Reveal Their Secrets of Breaking Through to Success. My question for you is, after hearing our friend from India, he was talking about soft skills. I think I read something about being nice doesn't hurt. Isn't that one of the soft skills we can use?
Being nice is really true. When we are mean to people, it triggers our fight or flight response in our brains, which make people automatically defensive. So the nicer we can be to people, the less we trigger them and the more likely we're going to get through to a resolution or any challenging conversation. So it's always the high road to take.
Interesting to actually kind of look at psychology and neuroscience to try and figure out conflict resolution, isn't it? I mean, it kind of does make sense a little bit.
It makes a ton of sense, and it is so fun. So I run a courthouse program over here for Idaho's largest district court, and an example of using neuroscience, before I took over the program, the resolution rate for my department was about 52.8%. So a little bit over a flip of a coin would be whether or not a case would get resolved in mediation. And once we started using neuroscience, my team's resolution rate just went up to roughly 80%.
Wow.
And mine is about 95%. So when you understand what's going on under the hood, and you can see how it pops out and what people say and do, you can cut resolution times down dramatically and get to the root of matters without launching people. It's great.
You know, it's interesting because right now I am guardian and part-time caregiver for my two elder parents who are 91 and 88. And then we have 24-hour in-house caregivers as well. And it's so funny. My father has written a lot of books. I mean, this guy, I think 22 altogether.
And wow.
He's brilliant. But at this stage of his life, things change. And same with my mother. And so we're learning how to not react to what is said and how to just stay calm. And I think that, you know, I, for once in my life, because these are my parents and I love them so dearly, I am having to take all of my emotions and set them aside. And so I wonder how much of learning how to control our emotions is involved with this process that you can, you know, that you can maybe talk about a little bit, because I see here five ways to use neuroscience to resolve conflicts faster and less painfully. My first one that I had to learn how to do was to not be so emotionally charged, you know, but I would love to hear these, some of these five ways you could do this.
Yeah. So really what you're talking about is not reacting.
Right.
So there's not one decision that we make. There's not one thing we do that doesn't have an emotional reaction in our brain. So the trick is to really become more observing about what's going on. And when you're getting triggered, realize that, oh, wow, this is triggering me. And maybe take a pause or, you know, really listen to the messages. So when you're talking about your folks, it's not about so much reacting to what the emotional trigger is, but is really listening to the message of what are they trying to get across.
Right.
And repeating that rather than repeating all of the white noise that comes behind it that has the drama and the emotions and the miscommunications in there. And what that really is just becoming more observant, and then we're therefore not triggering them as much. Because for your folks, things get scarier because as they're older, they have less control over what they do in life and they need more help and all the dots don't connect. And in neuroscience, we know that when all the dots don't connect, our brains go negative. So things are scarier. So anytime we can help people connect the dots and not react judgmentally and just react more neutrally, we get to the root of the matter much more efficiently.
Yeah. And I find that truly using less emotional responses and reactions, it does mediate, in essence, you know, what is about to escalate. I actually really have to, man, I have to really, downshift. I guess that's a way to say it. Downshift, slow down my brain because my brain just goes into high gear. I actually have to go the opposite direction and then take a chill pill and be a much kinder, gentler person using those soft skills that I had just talked about with our previous guest. And I actually like myself better because I say, yeah, that's called love. And what's wrong with using love with not only your family members, but in business too? Does that make sense?
For sure. For sure. One of the things when you talk about slowing down is one of the really great communication tools that is neuroscience based. So our brains can only handle, you know, roughly 6 chunks of information at a time in working memory. So if you're using a lot of words and you're talking really fast, that's hard on the brain. So if you slow down and say less and use less words, people can hear you better. And they also feel like you're more present and your brain isn't as stressed because it's not working for the next response.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is what you're talking about is simply being thoughtful. And I think if in business we are thoughtful, caring, and use a little bit of wisdom in how we deal with our businesses and not so much ambition and emotionally charged stuff, we're going to do a better job. And hopefully you can walk us through a little more of this. You can find out more about Carol Barks at MediaAmbassadors.com. And right here we'll be talking to her for another couple segments on Entrepreneur Weekly. Stay with us.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, it's funny. All of us have our journey in life. And, you know, some of those journeys are winding, twisting roads. But it is all of that experience, that life experience that help us to be who we are today. And without one piece or another of that experience called life, we may not be where we are standing today. So it takes all those bits and pieces along the way to help us kind of go, and have that aha moment of, I think I want to do this. And so here we are with Carol Barks and MediaAmbassadors.com. She has a new book out, Success Breakthroughs. Leading entrepreneurs and professionals reveal their secrets for breaking through to success. And through the use of neuroscience to improve business performance. Carol, I want to ask you, how about your journey? How did you end up here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was a really obvious journey. So I originally went to school for marine biology. And then promptly when I got out of school, I went into banking, which is all the things that marine biologists look to do is get a job in banking.
I'm trying. You know? Yeah, so,
Yeah. So I hated that. That was not my jam. And so I ended up being in the Bay Area during the time of the Loma Prieta earthquake. And I did a lot of volunteering up there. And that launched me into a career in the fire service. But then I transitioned out of that after a while and opened a wine bistro and lifestyle store and had a manufacturing company. All super obvious transitions. I know you're thinking this.
Yeah, marine biology. Exactly.
Yeah. And so then ultimately I started doing a lot of business consulting to help people recreate businesses like I had run. And I thought I was doing it for a lot of people who knew me. And I thought once I ran out of people who knew me and I told them that they should hire me because I was a former firefighter and marine biologist and I could totally help them with their business, I thought I probably ought to reeducate myself in something that other people could relate to. So I went back to school and got a degree in global leadership and influence and then a master's in conflict management and negotiation. And now I'm working on my PhD in neuroscience-based psychology. So now I'm legit, Alan.
Winding road, right? I love it.
Exactly.
But you know what? Yeah. That's what's cool. You continue to follow the quiet little voice in your head that says, no, that's not it.
I loved them all.
Right.
I really loved them all.
Until you realized that wasn't the it, right?
So
now you're most likely at your it because you're very successful at what you're doing. And of course, you're an author of a book and you have so much going on and you've figured this it out for yourself and many others. And you're sharing that with us here today. Let's do this. Let's talk about some of these things. I got a little bit of a list from you. Thank you for that, because this is a very complex topic we're talking about. 5 techniques to make you a better listener. Oh, doesn't my wife say that to me all the time? Let's just go for that one.
So I think one of the most important things is listening to hear rather than listening to wait to speak. So if I'm really listening to you, I'm going to act like a detective. I'm going to ask you more and more questions about what you said and what you meant by what you said and what it looks like to you, that until I have nothing else to ask, and then maybe I'll input something. But the best part of listening is to not put in your own stuff. Just listen. Mm-hmm. Silence is really great, and looking at nonverbal communication is phenomenal. And also using your positioning that you're really, really present. So we talked earlier about slowing down and really listening, not being defensive, and really looking for what that person really needs from the conversation, not looking for how to solve things, not looking for what to say next, not looking to infuse your brilliance, but just looking to be present. So, fantastic when you do it.
So hard for me and everyone else to do.
I know.
Oh, man. And I think it really boils down to that one word or two words, being present.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us don't even know how to start doing that.
Well, yeah, and that's true, too. So one of the really great things is we spend so much time being busy at any given time. There's a million other things we're supposed to be doing at the same time that we're doing the current thing that we're doing, and that's hard on our brains. So one of the really cool neuroscience tips that people can do is every hour, it seems like a nuisance, but if you can just stop for 5 minutes, and take a walk and stretch and just stop thinking, you actually get more done, because it's in those moments where you pause that your brain can connect all the work that you're doing under the hood, because most of what we do is unconscious,
right,
and we can actually get more done faster.
How about just a bit of a perspective from where people mess up in conflicts, as seen by somebody like you who's a conflict resolution expert?
So talking at people instead of to them. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking at me and demanding what you want me to do, even if I had come into a conversation thinking I was going to do what you wanted, if you're talking at me and demanding things from me, I'm likely to do the opposite, because our brains don't like to be told what to do. Mm-hmm. So a softer tone and a more calm discussion are much more effective. Mm. That's a good quick one.
You know, it's interesting. I got into an argument with a guy one time, and I stayed very calm. I had the facts, I had the knowledge, and every time he came at me with something, I just gave him the facts and the knowledge and the wisdom behind it. And at a certain point, he says, "You know what? I'm just going to shut the hell up." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "You're right, I'm wrong, I just need to shut up." I thought that was
there
the
you go.
Greatest thing I'd ever heard. We'll take a little break, come back with more of Carol Barks, MediaAmbassadors.com, her book, Success Breakthroughs. We'll be right back. Stay with us. My mother, God rest her soul. Lord of mercy. I just
want to fly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget, you can find Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere. As our first guest, you found out, is even Entrepreneur in India. So, pick up an issue of the magazine at newsstands everywhere and visit our website, entrepreneur.com, Entrepreneur Media, expanding in every way you can imagine. You can find more of this radio show there. This is a nationally syndicated radio show, also podcast later on, at entrepreneur.com. Our guest right now, Carol Barks, Media Ambassadors, mediaambassadors.com, her book, Success Breakthroughs. Let's talk about things that have been going on in my life a little bit. How to have a conversation about difficult topics in an increasingly volatile environment. Because when topics become, difficult, I don't want to give away too much. And it does, because when things in business get difficult, it becomes volatile. At that moment, there's like a tipping point where all of a sudden energy is high, anger and frustration and a lot of built up things that aren't said all of a sudden start coming out, and then volatility. So maybe some advice on that.
this is really almost like a superhero power, but it's really talking about interests rather than positions. So we tend to fight about positions, which is really what I want versus what you want. But really where the solutions come from are needs and finding out what it is that we actually need with that demand that we're talking about. So one little example is just the wall, for instance. So without getting into politics, we have one side that wants the wall and one side that doesn't want the wall, and that's their positions. But the solutions come in when we figure out what it is that they actually need. What are they trying to accomplish? What are they after? What are their concerns? And if we dig into those and actually share those with each other, oftentimes we can find that there's some commonalities, or that maybe the wall or no wall solves the purpose or doesn't solve the purpose that we're trying to accomplish. And it becomes more of, like we were talking about in the last section about our segment about listening. It's really about really diving in deep into what they need. And usually, like when you negotiate, if you're negotiating off of your positions, there's really only two basic choices: I win or you win. But we know from research that expert negotiators have about 5.6 different solutions, and you get those from the needs. So when you really dig into the why that's important, then we can come up with a lot of different ways to solve things besides me winning or you losing or vice versa. So that one's super important.
Well, I was always taught that I win, you are a loser. And that's, you know, of course, that doesn't help things, right?
No, not at all.
So
not
at all. That's the wrong way. Okay, here's another. I would love for you to give a little bit of advice in our final 2 minutes or so for entrepreneurs that are in business that need to take a chill pill, because yes, we know you folks out there that are in business, even if you're not in business, but you're working for somebody else, even if you're not an entrepreneur, we've got to learn how to take a chill pill. But I would love for you to give some advice on that.
Well, you know, a lot of that's perspective. So we get really stuck in our perspective and we stop being inquisitive. So we have a lot of knee-jerk reactions and we're not realizing that depending on what you've read, depending on what I've read, depending on what our upbringings are, what our past experiences are, we're going to come at a topic from any different direction. So if we just, like we've talked about, slow down and stay calm and really try more to learn about each other rather than to shove our positions down the other person's throat, we'll get so much further along. And really, a part of this is a sign of people being hyper-stressed. So, you know, back in our ancestral times, stress was really supposed to be about a quick getting away from something that was threatening our survival. But right now we stay in toxic stress, so we react a lot quicker, and we really do things that we wouldn't normally do. And the fact that we use social media in a naughty way where we can just quickly, you know, slam somebody,
right,
you know, we're bad.
Yeah.
So I think pause is the thing. You know, when in doubt, don't. You know, we can't solve the whole world's problems, but we can be nice and we can start with us and the person next to us. And then that person helps the person next to them. And then we have change.
Good advice. Using some of these soft skills that the show has been about. Learn how to take a chill pill. Learn how to relax just a little bit. You can find her book where? Success Breakthroughs. Where do we find that?
You can find it on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Or they can also go to my Facebook page, Carol Barks, or catch me on LinkedIn, too.
Okay. And the website, MediaAmbassadors.com. Carol, thank you so much. Great job.
Thanks, Alan.
I feel more relaxed just talking to you. All right. Well, thank you again. And thank you all for listening out there. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll see you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.